Also greet you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. Truly is a good to be here this morning. I'm still dealing with a little bit of throat issues, but I'm blessed. And I've really been blessed by being here this morning. Craig introduced us to the message in Romans 12. And then also our Sunday school class, just issues of us, or recipes, I call it, of Christian living, how we should live. And even as I think of Covenant Choir, the privilege of being the light to take the gospel into a dark place. And that is a blessing. So this morning I'd like to continue in chapter 12 of Romans, looking at verses 9 to 13 primarily. And also, I'm not supposed to say "and." Sometimes somebody in the crowd clears your throat, or clears their throat if I say "and" too often, so. It's interesting, Craig. We laughed at you. I'm sorry, but that was good. Habits, yeah. Do we have good habits? So, Romans 12, 9 to 13. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Short little phrases of what we are called to do in light of what was shared in the first part of Romans 12, because of the mercies of God. I've just simply entitled my message, Love Genuinely. We are called to love. And as I think of loving without hypocrisy, how does that love and hypocrisy work together? And they don't really, but I think all of us, the word love in our world is used for a lot of things. I love pizza, right? So we're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ here. When we have a love for each other, we are not going to have that disdain. We talked about that in our Sunday school class, about maybe having disdain for someone. And where outwardly we may say, well, you know, we love you. But inside we're thinking, well, And I'm guilty of that. It's like genuine love. And especially as I think of what Jesus did for us in coming to this earth, genuine love that he had. I think that's an important thing for us to realize, is that Jesus had genuine love. God the Father had genuine love. And so how do I compare with that? And we love things. We say we love things. The other part of, or the opposite of, I think of relationships, we love someone. There's also, I think often that confuses people, is there's lust. Sometimes a relationship is based on lust. They love the person in maybe a lustful manner, which is very shallow and is not going to last. And you think of the world we live in today, how often marriages end up, maybe not in divorce necessarily, but relationships are very rocky. And maybe the foundation of their relationship was maybe more based on lust than love. But I think it's not necessarily, I'm not just saying that that's, I think sometimes we genuinely love each other, but it's the kind of thing that has to remain a constant. We need to continually work at loving. It's not just an automatic thing, kind of what Craig shared this morning. It's something that we have to intentionally do. We have to intentionally love, and we can't totally just go on feelings. And it's interesting how that in verse 9, he goes from let love be without hypocrisy. And then right after that, he says, abhor what is evil. We don't use the word abhor much in our language, but it's basically saying hate. Hate what is wrong. And then he goes on and says, cling to what is good. And as I was studying this, do I hate the things that God hates? Or do I almost sometimes entertain myself with evil? Does that make sense? We kind of don't agree with maybe what we're watching or whatever, but it's kind of entertaining, you know. It's kind of funny. We are entertained by evil. And then the other part is, do we entertain evil? Does that make sense? In other words, we are involved in doing evil instead of hating it. We do evil. We have evil thoughts. We have evil intentions. So this list that we have this morning is so necessary that we have to, that God gives us this recipe for living. Cling to what is good. And I think even in how I do habitually, am I clinging to what is good? Am I focusing on the good things, or am I focusing on the things that irritate me? Like I shared in class this morning, people that put crooked buildings on, it's like, why do they do that? It's a personal opinion, right? And it's like, why does it bother me? It's like it shouldn't. But I'm often, it's just something that I, you know, do it like I like it. And so often that is the thing that probably brings contention or whatever. It's not so much the real true to life, or I mean the things that are truth or false or whatever, but it's things that I prefer. Why does he drive a Ford? No, I mean it's just, but we are, how would it be if we lived in a world where there weren't all these animosities and opinions and things against each other. I think of those things. It's like those are the things that we deal with here on earth, here in this life, is that we constantly are bombarded with choices, basically. But I think it's this verse says, be genuine in love, hate what is evil, and cling to what is good. And then verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. The word love here, I think, is the word agape. And the word agape is one of, how many different Greek words. But it's something that, it's the love that God had for us, the pure. But I think in some ways this word here is not just a noun. It's not just love. It's an action. And I think that's the thing that we have here in Romans 12. We know what God did for us because of Romans 1 to 11. We know what God did for us. So now How are we going to act? Be honest. Be genuine. And then be kindly affectionate one to another. Brotherly love, and I think of us as Christians, we have, because of being born again, we have a new family, brothers and sisters in Christ. And so this is what he's talking about. It's like, do you love each other with a genuine affection? Do we love each other enough that even though we laughed at Craig's that he doesn't feel attacked? Do we love each other enough that we are concerned when somebody is doing evil? And we hate it enough that we are willing to try to correct in a loving way? I think that's what he's talking about here. In Galatians 6, 1 and 2, it says this. I'm kind of going back a little bit. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And also Psalm 97:10 says, you who love the Lord, hate evil. And then maybe just a little bit more on clinging to what is good. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. There's a verse in, and then we get to love each other with genuine affection. And then also the second part is in honor, giving preference to one another. New Living says this, take delight in honoring each other. Why is it sometimes hard to honor another person when that person wins the lottery? No. But when that person, it seems like everything's just going fine with him and he's doing well, and it's hard to be excited for that person. But and also in like honor those who are doing well. Maybe sometimes it's easier for us to weep with those that weep than it is to be joyful with those that are rejoicing. I don't know. But here's a direction for us. Love each other with genuine affection. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says this, but we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other, for God himself has taught you to love one another. So, as we love each other, we should honor each other and show honor to each other. And we have that we had that in Romans 12, verses 3 to 8. And then in verse 10, the last part, talks really kind of about being humble. And all of us have to deal with humility. We're commanded we're commanded to put others in front of us. Seek our brother's best in every situation. God will look after us. Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So, our love for each other must be earnest and diligent. And then verse 11, not lagging in diligence. How many of you have gotten tired of doing what you're doing? I see one hand. But it's like, even as I thought of coming up here, it's like I could paint a picture of just kind of dragging my feet. But how do I remain diligent and excited about living a Christian life even? Because I think it's so important. Our testimony of what other people see in me. And the verse that goes with that, Ecclesiastes 9:10 says this, whatever you do, do it well. In other words, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with your might. But also, there's a verse that in Ephesians, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but those who are wise, make the most of every opportunity in those evil days. There was another verse that I was thinking about. Here it is, Galatians 6, 9, and 10 says this, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those who are in the family of faith. So as I think of that, be diligent. Am I always diligent? In other words, don't burn out. Unless you're driving, of course. But don't burn out. How do we avoid being burned out? I think, especially as I get older, I think of the fact that our bodies change. We become tired more easily. Don't try to be Superman. Remember that you need to take care of yourself. I mean, there's a limit. But there's also this thing of us trying to remain refreshed enough. Don't do everything. Be diligent in doing that which is good. And God will reward you with ability to do that as well. And there are times when we physically cannot do the things that we have done in the past. And those are things that are not easy. But verse 11, the second part says, fervent in spirit. And the message says this, keep yourselves fueled and aflame. And so, how do you keep yourself fueled and aflame? I think those are the things, and I think they have to do partly with what you feed on. There's a law of sowing and reaping that remains truth. If you sow to the flesh, you reap of the flesh. We as humans here on earth, we tend to want to fix our problems with earthly things. Often, we want to fix things in an earthly fashion. Often I think of sometimes relationships that are broken, for example. We want to fix that immediately by having another new relationship. It's like maybe God wants us to take a time of waiting and mending and God repairing us and letting us heal instead of trying to fix it ourselves, resting on His word, praying. And we'll get into that as well. Serve the Lord enthusiastically. Were you enthusiastic this morning when you came to church? That's just a part of serving the Lord. But don't become burned out or weary in serving the Lord, in whatever God has called you to do. And then I think also the thing of us resting on each other, helping each other. And if I see someone in need, which is addressed in verse 13, we'll get to that. But serve the Lord enthusiastically. And then verse 12 says this, rejoice in hope. Have joy in hope. Be cheerfully expectant. What is your hope based on? We sing the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. But then we try to fix our problems with other hopes. Philippians 4:4 says this. Always be full of the joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. New Living Translation. Romans 5:5 says this. This hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And I think that's the important thing, is that we have that hope of Jesus in our lives that constantly gives us hope for the day. Even though things aren't going well, our immediate things that are not going well, that we have this inner hope and a peace, that we have peace on earth, peace in our heart that the world cannot give, neither can it take away. That is the kind of hope. But it also is a hope that comes out from us, is like, how does that person remain positive? And I confess that there, recently as I was studying this, I thought of, I often make this comment, yeah, we live in a weird world. It's like, well, that's really hopeful, isn't it? But it's, you know, maybe it is true. But where do I place my hope in? Where do I find the courage to go through each day? Is it, but I think it's a, even what Craig shared this morning, it's like it's a reminder that you don't have to say that. People already know that. You know, tell them that, you know what, we have a hope in Jesus. And that's, how do people remain positive, you know, even in a negative world? And then the last part of verse 11, in the Message, it says, be alert servants of the Master. Be alert. Pay attention. Be awake. Be alert. Verse 12, rejoice in your confident hope. Patient in tribulation. Be patient in trouble. I think as men, we want to fix something. We want to fix it right away. Be patient. Be careful how you pray for patience, though, right? But be patient in tribulation. In other words, don't quit in hard times. And then he goes on and he says this, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Wow, this is huge. It's like continuing in prayer. Wednesday night we were at Faith Mission and I prayed with a lady. She said she had a stroke in 2012, I believe. And she said that since she had her stroke, she's not been able to pray. And I think there are certain periods in our life when we find it hard to pray, don't we? But continue steadfastly in prayer, even when you can't feel it. Continue to take your requests to God. And maybe even if you can't feel it, tell someone, hey, I need you to pray for me. And that's what this lady did Wednesday night. It's like, what an example. It's like, okay, so if I can't pray for myself, don't be too proud to ask somebody else to pray for you. Because I think when things are hard, then's when we don't feel like praying, right? And then's when we need to pray all the more. The Message says, pray all the harder. And I think that's exactly where it's at. It's like, pray even harder when those things, when we're going through tough times. Pray harder. And often in those times, we feel like, well, what good does it do to pray? There's nothing happening. God wants you to be focused on who created the earth, who made the heavens. He did. And he has the ability. And then in verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints in the King James. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. And I think we were reminded of that. Christmas time is often the time when we're in the giving spirit, but let's do that in January and February and March, whenever, all through the year. Be aware of needy, and this is referring to Christian, of the saints. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law. And then also 6:2 and 3, or verse 3 says this, if you think you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. He's talking to the people in Galatia. And then in the last part of verse 13, be open. Instead of building walls between us and others, we are to reach out as true friends do. The idea is that being available to the family of God. So, in conclusion, I think that Paul is addressing the church. And the church is to be the appearance of the gospel. It is what the gospel looks like when played out in people's lives. Take away the church, and you take away the visible manifestation of the gospel in the world. Christians, not just as individuals, but as God's people bound together in churches, are the clearest picture of the world sees of who God is and what his will is for them. And as I thought of that, I thought hypocrisy or fake love, or when church people squabble, is probably the biggest hindrance that the world sees in revealing the gospel to them. And so the importance of us loving each other, love from the center of who you are, don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. This is the message. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled in a flame. Be alert. Servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Each of us, I believe, has our own service to perform. In essence, we have different gifts. And this morning in my one-year Bible reading, I thought it was interesting that I read from 1 John 4. And it says this, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And I think I'll just stop with that. It's like that whole chapter talks about us having love and showing love. I think with that, we'll just we'll pause for prayer. God, I thank you so much for the direction that you give us in your word, and just the reminder that I need to know how to live. Number one, to love genuinely, not be fake, not with hypocrisy, and to flee and hate evil. I pray, God, that you would just bless this people who is here today with your Holy Spirit anointing. And I pray that you would meet the needs that are here this morning. And I pray that you would just reveal those needs even to us, that we as fellow Christians would be kind enough to share and to try to help meet those needs and to walk along each other, with each other as we go through life. I pray that you would be honored and glorified in what was shared this morning. And thank you so much for giving us life. and for allowing us to come together like this. Pray a blessing on us as we leave as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.